The Jerry Doyle Show.
Anita Finley joining us on the program. She's the author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 16 weeks, that's 4 months for those of you who went to public school, number one position on Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. She's an actress, probably know her from 24, Young and the Restless. She's a blogger, award-winning blogger, by the way, and a contributor for us at EpicTimes.com. Her latest piece there, Have We Become a Botox Nation? For reasons that I'm going to ask her to explain. I mean, Anita puts a lot of great content out in the digital universe and for us at EpicTimes.com. I call it groceries. She pushes out a lot of good groceries. But why so much traction on this article about Botox? Anita Finley, Anita Answer. Get it? Ah, come on. That was pretty good.
You're killing me, Larry. You're just
thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
To be back with you. You know, it is true, though. This article, Botox Nation, has gotten more traction than anything I've ever done. I think it has hit a chord. I even heard from producers in Canada. People got in touch with me from all over the country. It was pretty wild.
Why? And, what is it? I mean, you know, you talk about Frances McDormand, and she's a phenomenally talented actor or actress, whichever people want to be called by these days. But what she's been about, you say, and what she's written about and what she's talked about with her views on aging have hit both sides of the aisle pretty strongly with regard to praise on one hand and threatened reactions on the other.
Well, the reason I think it just happened to hit the current zeitgeist because she's coming out with this new HBO movie, Olive Kittredge, and she's playing an older woman and aging from her 40s through to her 70s and married to the brilliant Richard Jenkins, also another fabulous actor. But the reason that this has really hit a nerve is that she's talking about the fact that she has not, as she said, mutated herself in any way. She's had no surgery. She allows herself to age. And whatever her wrinkles, whatever, however she looks, that's it. And she's not worried about, the typical kinds of Botox injections, eye lifts, everything else that so many actresses and increasingly actors and even people who are in all walks of life are engaging in. It's not just in the film industry. And that happened to come out at exactly the same time. The very next night, Renee Zellweger, who is an Oscar-winning actress, appeared at some sort of Elle magazine, some big gala of some kind, and it was quite obvious that she had had something done to her face to the point that she was nearly unrecognizable. And if you look at the side-by-side pictures of what she, used to look like and looks like now, she still looks beautiful, but clearly she's done something, whether she's had an eye lift or Botox or whatever. I don't want to speculate about that. But, I think the consensus is that something drastic has happened there. And I think that it's been a powerful 1-2 punch because it's made us look at, in this country, just how much we value youth, how much anything that is valuable about women is connected with their portfolio of beauty, if you will. And once you don't have that, or you don't have it at all, or you don't have it anymore after a certain age, you're supposed to just sort of get quiet, shrivel up and die. We hear about women politicians who are past their sell-by date. You would never hear stuff like that with a man. But I just think that, it's worth talking about because it happens in Hollywood, but it's not just there. Advertisers make billions and billions of dollars selling us on the idea that whatever we need, they have it, but we don't have it by ourselves. We need to buy it from them in order to be better, to be glamorous, to be wanted, to be desired. And I think that's a disaster. So, looking at the spectrum of those two actresses representing two very different sides of the argument, rather, I think that's what's really got people kind of nervous and looking at, what is valuable to us in this country.
And you talk about the hypersexualization and objectification of women, and you say, and increasingly of men. It seems as if that this need to not look your age has jumped the genetic shark to men, because I hear from a lot of women out there, Anita, that I owe them child support. No, I'm just kidding. I hear from a lot of women out there that the guys are spending more time in the mirror than they are. The guys are spending more time on their hair that they look like they comb with a fork than they are, and it seems as if the guys have started to take on this Botox beautification and extreme makeover kind of a regimen that I guess for the most part we'd say was pretty much relegated to the female species.
Yeah, you're right. It's not any longer, and it really is scary to me. I remember being at a grocery line, and, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I talk to the sidewalk. I'll strike up a conversation with anybody. And I remember there was a woman standing behind me, and, you know, usually something funny, something will tickle me, and I share it with the person standing next to me. I looked at this woman who was very pretty, but it was very obvious that she was like a Barbie doll. She had had surgery from head to toe. And she looked so, forgive me, she looked so plastic that I was almost scared to talk to her. I couldn't find any real character in her face, beautiful or otherwise. It doesn't matter. You know, there was nothing real there. And I just, how do I approach such a person? And I think that we really have to look at what we value as a society and in terms of looks. We are so airbrushed. I mean, I've talked to you about this before, that when you even see, you know, makeup commercials, they totally wash out the actresses' faces to the point that they look like they've been digitally scraped. They can now digitally adjust live TV, so they can digitally retouch in a live image. And you look at someone, it's not physically possible for you to look 30 years younger today than you did 30 years ago. You can't. It's just, how are you going to do this? And I think that it to me, it just takes away from the deep value that experience brings. And that's kind of what Frances McDormand was talking about when she said, you know, there's this card catalog of useful information that you grow with experience and with, you know, a life and a life well earned, if you will. And now we're throwing that out the window, and we're throwing older workers out the window. It's the same attitude everywhere. And I think the more that we get it from the film industry or advertisers, we buy into it. And you're right, men are buying into it too. I think it's a disaster. I don't want to see somebody look plastic. I want to talk to a real human being.
Well, you bring up in there the Barbie doll phoniness. And the other day on the program, we were talking about this woman who got a petition going because she wanted the Breaking Bad action figures, collectibles, whatever you call them, taken off the shelves at Toys R Us because they shouldn't be next to, you know, Barbie and Disney characters. And I said, well, if you're talking about sending the wrong message, I mean, is Barbie the right message for women? And let me just tell you, the other day, doing some research for the story, I Googled perfect breasts. Now, there was a lot of nice pictures that popped up, but you know what popped up right on the first page? Barbie. So the Barbie doll, you know, with the perfect breast and the perfect butt and the perfect legs and the perfect hair and the perfect teeth, is also, in a certain way, going against what this woman says about messaging, about how Breaking Bad action figures are bad, but Barbie doll images are good.
Well, Barbie doll images, this is a disaster for any child. And believe me, I had a huge Barbie doll collection growing up. But thankfully, I never looked at her and thought, oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to look like, because they've done scientific studies and Barbie's proportions are physically not possible.
Right.
I don't care how beautiful a figure you have. You can't have that tiny a waist and those small a hips with that size breast. You'd literally fall over. You wouldn't stand up. And this is what we're teaching people. This is a disaster.
Right. But I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and she was talking about when she was growing up, she's not tall. She's vertically challenged. And she said she used to snap the Barbie heads off the Barbie dolls and put them on a different doll, which was shorter. Because she was shorter and she was squattier, we'll just use that term. Let's say more stable to the ground. And she was offended by the fact that she wasn't as leggy as Barbie, so she decided she was going to kind of make a hybrid of what she thought beauty was based upon what she knew it to be. But most people look at Barbie and say, I have to look like Barbie. There's women out there that get surgery to look like Barbie. They get ribs removed. You know, they get the breast enhancements. They get all kinds of work done to look like Barbie. Now, that's an extreme. I get it. But there are a lot of people that look at that Barbie image and say, that's the image that little girls grow up with, and that's obviously what I should grow into.
Well, you know what is also disturbing, Jerry, is that, you know, this brouhaha over Renee Zellweger's appearance. I mean, this every single media outlet was blasting this news out and in a frenzy about what did she do to her face and how did she change. But there were some very interesting articles in Time magazine and one by Amanda Hess and Amanda Marcotte also talking about the fact that before she did this, no matter how pixie-ish or cute we thought she was, she got a horrible amount of criticism you know, in the media and on the internet about how she looked, and she's ugly, and she's this, and she's that. So, you know, we have this expectation. Everybody's a critic. Everybody has something to say, and we judge everybody by the physical, and, you know, the judgment is so harsh. You know, what do you expect the reaction to be to that? How is a human being? She's a human being with feelings. How is she supposed to react to that? But beyond that, you know, I think beyond complaining about this, I look at, well, what's the root of it, and what can we do about it? And what occurs to me is that when you sit there and you're so busy projecting criticism, I really doubt that somebody would be that critical about someone else's appearance unless they were also critical about their own. And I put it to you that when we look in the media, we are so taught to devalue our own looks that this is another reason. It's like projecting your poison out onto someone else so that you can take the pain away of the criticism that perhaps you might vent in your own direction. And I think, you know, the way to get over that is to start to look at yourself in the mirror and see something you like there and stop being influenced by this nonsense and realizing this is all airbrushed. You know, as a friend of mine once said, don't buy the hype. All the crap you see in these magazines, these models don't even look like the models.
No,
they're, you know,
no, they don't.
Majorly retouched.
And, yeah, I mean, I try to explain, you know, I've been to the Playboy Mansion a number of times, and I've been in the company, let's just say, of some Playboy playmates. And I try to tell guys, they don't look like that. And when you take a look at what it is that you see in the finished product in Playboy magazine, a lot of guys will compare their wives or their fiancés or their girlfriends to what those images are that they see in that magazine. And I try and explain to them, if you took your wife or fiance or girlfriend and put her through the paint shop the way they put them through the paint shop, you'd have other people saying, wow, your wife is really hot. Because it's an end result product that it doesn't exist in reality.
Absolutely, Jerry. And, you know, the thing is that it's not that women are not doing that to men also, but, you know, when we talk about, you know, Hugh Jackman's body or six-pack abs, when he's on a show touting a movie, he talks about, oh, it took me 6 months of 5 hours a day training to get into shape. What human being who's earning a living has time even to do that? You would have to be so obsessed. I mean, they're doing it because that piece of celluloid is going to last forever. He's playing that superhero for a very limited period of time, and it has to look a certain way, and he's being paid millions of dollars and has trainers working with him every day, and he's standing there, you know, lifting, benching 250, 300 pounds and doing God only knows what else in order to get in that shape and having a diet that you would not sustain over a lifetime. And
I think,
you know, we're just taught to leave reality by the door. But I'm also concerned for another reason, because it's not just the entertainment industry. That's, you know, what I talk about in Have We Become a Botox Nation, is that, you know, this translates to politics as well. It translates to every part of business, that somehow experience and know-how of any kind, or you know, understanding what people's personalities are, understanding how to work with other people, having a lifetime of experience in the workplace, all of that is discounted in favor of what's new, what's exciting. It's all the same kind of Botox Nation idea, and I think that's just as big a disaster.
It's a great article, and it's as you said, it's the one that's gotten the most response of anything that you've done, and you've done a lot of great stuff to date. The title is Have We Become a Botox Nation? You can get it at epictimes.com right there on our homepage, courtesy of Anita Finley, our guest, author, actress, blogger. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 4 months, number one position, Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. You also talk in here, and we have to get out right now, Anita, but you also talk about politicians who seem to have had, quote, a little work done. And in the case of Secretary of State John Kerry, one word comes to mind: refund. There's just something
Do you remember when he took over for Hillary and all the boys in the boys' club, oh, he's going to outclass her and he's going to bring peace to the Middle East and wait till he can, you know, and now they're finding out. It's like, no, it hasn't quite worked out that way. The boys' club is not what they thought it was. But somebody pulling and nipping and tucking their face is like, really? I mean, that's not making your message any better than it was before you did all that.
Yeah, that's like somebody with a lousy message who decides to scream it. Just because you're making it louder doesn't make it better. And just because we've seen John Kerry go from whatever he was to whatever he is, joining the Botox Club, it still doesn't change the fact that the facts are what the facts are. You can package it, you can, you know, spin it up any way you want, but the reality is what the reality is. It's a great piece. Thanks, Anita. I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the program to talk about it. Check it out, folks. Have we become a Botox nation? EpicTimes.com. The source for that and a lot more from Anita Finley. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Jerry. Always a pleasure. Great weekend to your listeners.
Mine too. Thanks. Wrap it up when we get back. Stick with us.
The Jerry Doyle Show.